A light snow was falling, and the streets were crowded with people. It was Munich in Nazi Germany. Susie, a German Jew, had been riding a city bus home from work when SS stormtroopers suddenly stopped the coach and began examining the identification papers of the passengers. Most were annoyed, but a few were terrified. Jews were being told to leave the bus and get onto a truck around the corner. Susie watched from her seat in the rear as soldiers systematically worked their way down the aisle. She began to tremble, tears streaming down her face. When the man next to her noticed that she was crying, he politely asked her why. "I don't have the papers you have. I'm a Jew. They're going to take me." The man exploded with disgust. He began to curse and scream at her. "You stupid idiot," he roared. "I can't stand to be near you." The SS men asked what he was yelling about. "Damn her," the man shouted angrily. "My wife has forgotten her papers again. I'm so fed up. She always does this." The soldiers laughed and moved on. Susie was left on the bus. She never saw that man again. She never even knew his name. This story, relayed by Reverend Kim Crawford Harvey, is called Stranger on the Bus. It was first told by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner, who offers it as an illustration of our capacity as humans to be messengers of the Most High, strangers with answers for each other. "We understand that ordinary people are messengers of the Most High," he writes. "They go about their tasks in holy anonymity, often even unknown to themselves. Yet, if they had not been there, if they had not said what they said or did what they did, it would not be the way it is now. We would not be the way we are now. Never forget that you too, yourself, may be a messenger." We forget the power that even as strangers we can have in each other's lives. The possibilities that are present and available to us when we are present and open and aware to the people and situations around us. In this month of sanctuary, I want to continue talking about what it means to not only find sanctuary, but also offer sanctuary. In part for each other, but in particular today, for people we do not know. Strangers, or as the tongue-in-cheek saying goes, friends you haven't met yet. What does it look like to offer wide welcome to those we don't actually know here or in other parts of our lives? What are the challenges we must overcome, and what are the gifts we might find? As I ponder these questions, I keep coming back to the word stranger. There's something about that word. It's rich with meaning, calling up all kinds of images, many of them about being wary, like strangers in a dark alley, or strangers lurking at the window or the door, or the phrase, "don't talk to strangers," that we say to children. And, of course, the root of the word itself is strange, which doesn't do a whole lot to draw us in. There's history here, long history. As Reverend Suzanne Wasilchuk writes, it's actually very human and normal to be wary of strangers. Contemporary moral philosophers Julian Savulescu and Ingmar Persson observe that for centuries, even millennia, we lived in small, close-knit groups, working hard with primitive tools to scratch sufficient food and shelter from the land. Sometimes we competed with other small groups for limited resources. And thanks to evolution, we are supremely well adapted to that world, not only physically, but psychologically and socially. We are adapted to stick with our own kind, protect our immediate circle of family and friends, to be wary of the outsider, to avoid the stranger who comes into our midst. So it's not surprising that our language reflects this hesitation, this uneasiness. Nor is it surprising that our discomfort would translate to a tendency to seek out people we identify with, people who we feel are like us. As Reverend Douglas Taylor put it recently, most people seek out homogeneous community, a place of like-minded people. Our religious community, indeed, most religious communities are familiar. It is part of that ancient instinctual bias within us. We are comfortable in conformity. We are at home in the homogeneous. We feel safest in sameness. On the other hand, it is striking to me how faith traditions in particular lift up so many images designed to counter this ancient distortion. You were once strangers in the land of Egypt, the biblical book of Leviticus states, reminding all that we too are sometimes the stranger. The Christian parable of the Good Samaritan is all about how we react and respond to strangers, especially ones in trouble. In the Quran, in Islam, all are encouraged to be kind to parents and relatives, orphans and the needy, to the near neighbor and the neighbor who is a stranger, to the companion at your side and the traveler. Hinduism has its own admonitions to be hospitable, and in Buddhism there is the practice of sakara, the act of being welcoming and helpful to guests, strangers, and travelers of all kinds. Welcoming the stranger is a faith practice across religious traditions. It's a spiritual practice, which means it can offer powerful gifts that may arrive in unexpected or hidden ways. And the fact that it's a spiritual practice means it takes intentionality. It implies it's not easy, that there may be internal resistance. It means we have to practice. And one place to practice opening to strangers is right here in our own UU congregations, where it has been suggested we could use some practice once in a while. Former UU president Reverend Peter Morales tells the story of a friend who visited one of our congregations. When she arrived for the Sunday morning service, no one greeted her warmly. She sat alone during the service, and after the service, she had difficulty finding the coffee hour. The invitation said to follow the crowd, but people scattered in several directions. When she finally found the coffee hour, she eventually did strike up a conversation with another visitor. No member of the congregation actually spoke to her. On the other hand, many of us do try, but may be constrained by what David Reinick describes as New England hospitality. Maybe you know some of this. We sincerely welcome you into our church, he writes, as long as you know how to get here and know what to do and know your way around. We'll be happy to talk to you if you initiate the conversation, And as a general rule, we will promise not to bother you. I can see myself in that. I know some churches have actually invited undercover guests to visit the church. There could be one here now, just saying. And see the place through the eyes of a stranger. Do they feel welcome? Can they find their way around? Will someone talk to them, even if they're not drinking from a red mug or a green mug or any mug at all? I actually think we do pretty well. I see ushers smiling at people coming in the door. I've seen people go out of their way to chat with someone new at coffee hour, and I have heard more than once that story about the interim minister who had some words about doing business during social times. And the fact that I've heard it repeated more than once means, I think, that folks have taken that to heart, that social times are meant to be social, where we engage with everyone. Even so, for all the times we remember, we also forget. I know I do. We see each other once a week or less. There's so much to catch up on. And it's easy to forget that when we are turned in toward the two or three people we're talking to, our backs are turned to everyone else. And it's easy to overlook a newcomer who may appear engrossed in our bulletin board, which is admittedly lovely, but that person may actually be hoping that someone will walk over and genuinely engage with them. And once we engage, then what? How is the kind of welcome I'm describing different from simply being polite? What does it mean to welcome as a spiritual practice? Something that is more than a hello, but an orientation of the heart, a generosity of spirit, a mindfulness that really makes room for someone else. I like the way Scott Taylor, Soul Matters founder and director, describes what I'm talking about. Welcoming is most often associated with bigness, he writes. We speak about expanding the circle and making more room. We talk about making ourselves larger through the practice of welcoming in new experiences and new ideas. But there is also the work of becoming smaller. And sometimes that is the even more important work. For instance, those of us who are white are learning that true welcoming of diversity just can't happen until we shrink and decenter our own voices. We also know that expanding community and welcoming newcomers requires right-sizing our own needs and putting our preferences second sometimes. Welcoming regularly involves the smallness of humility and willingness to listen and learn. The great spiritual teachers remind us that the key to feeling at home in the universe is seeing ourselves as a precious but tiny part of a much greater whole. Bottom line, there is a deep spiritual connection between the smallness of self and the expansiveness of potential relationship. I love this snapshot image I got from Reverend Roberta Finkelstein. She writes that years ago, when she was a brand new newcomer to a church that she ultimately joined, she noticed a small index card taped to a pole in the middle of the crowded and noisy room where they had their after-church social hour. On this index card, someone had handwritten, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." It's a biblical quote that reminds us when we welcome people to our churches, when we widely welcome them, We may not only have entertained angels, we may just have been one. We may just have been a messenger of the Most High, a role that is not always as dramatic as our opening story, but may be just as powerful. We have no idea when or how we might serve a transformational role. We don't really know when someone comes here what hopes they have, what hurts they carry, what a pivotal difference one act of kindness from you, specifically from you, might make in beginning to turn a tide for them. And we don't know when we are that new person, when we come with the gifts of our own humanity, with our own kindness and strength and experience and simple presence, we don't know just what a transformational effect we might have on those we meet who are already here. The person who today is facing a decision that might change the course of their marriage or their life, for example. The youth who today is looking to you, searching your face, silently asking if you're trustworthy, and by extension, all adults. Or the child who today and tomorrow and next week and next year might just grow up knowing they have a home in the world because you were here to greet them open-heartedly, week after week after week. We understand that ordinary people are messengers of the Most High, Kushner writes, often even unknown to themselves. Yet if they had not been there, it would not be the way it is now. Never forget that you, too, yourself may be that messenger. We can practice being angels, messengers, change agents. When we are here, when we are with family, when we are out in the world, we can practice. May we be undercover offerers of sanctuary. May we be shelterers of souls, and in doing so, discover angels in our midst, one of whom just might be you. May it be so. Amen.